All right, it is Talking Travel time, and Sally Lucas is here. And Sally, today, all sorts of different places you're heading.
Yeah, a little bit unusual today, I think. So we're going to go to Nantes, which is in Upper Brittany in the southwest of France. We're going to go cruising around some beautiful little islands in the Yasawa group of Fiji and some wild islands of South Australia.
Sally, you're starting off today by heading to France, and you know that I've never forgiven the advertising people.
I know. And maybe, as Amanda was saying, she thought petit miam or fair meant yum in French. So there you go. So you've both been fooled by advertising companies.
Well, you know, like, I've never forgiven them. I still, Yoplait indeed was not French for yogurt, and it took an actual French person to tell me that.
That's
felt like
funny.
I had yogurt on my face, but anyway.
Oh, yes, instead of egg. Why I'm talking about this town today, which is called Nantes, which is in Upper Brittany in the southwest of France. A friend of ours went there recently. Who knows why he does what he does, but he runs marathons, and he's already in his early 70s, and he's usually the oldest one running. So he's gone to Nantes to run in this marathon, and then guess what he did straight after it? Oh, I'll do the 800 kilometres stretch of the Camino walk as well after he's just run a marathon.
No. Sit down and have some Yoplait, my friends.
Or a beer. But anyway, it got me thinking about Nantes, and I thought, well, let's just research Nantes and find what there is to see. Well, it's just amazing. They have this, which I'm showing you, the listeners can't see, but if you Google it, guys, there's this incredible elephant they have there, and they build all these machines, and one of these is this elephant which you can go riding on, and it's made out of everything you can imagine, timber, iron. It's 18 meters tall, it weighs 48 tons, and it makes a lot of noise apparently, so it's quite loud. It has a shrieking trumpet noise.
It's recycling on steroids is what it is, Sally.
Well, that's what they've done. So it was famous, Nantes. It's on the Loire, the River Loire. It's an inland port which drains out into the Atlantic Ocean. And they were losing a lot of industry and so on. And so there was these empty warehouses that were doing nothing. So they had some very creative peoples. This is starting about 2007, when Les Machines de Lille, which it's got a Lille meaning island. It's an island in the river. And from the sheds that once built ships, they decided to build these incredible machines. And you can go and see this. It's open from 10 a.m. from April through to October, through to about 2 p.m. And then on the other days when the grand elephant's off duty for maintenance, you know, he might not be walking that day. I guess he has to have a lot of maintenance. He's a big, big boy. Now, the elephant's capable of carrying 50 passengers. As it's made of steel, tulip tree timber, powered by a giant engine. And they've other enormous sort of animals they've created as well in these factories. So it's become quite famous now as a place you go to for that. So they've also made different sort of statues from Jules Verne's novel from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea with all sort of interactive sea creatures. So, yeah, it's a very interesting city. And it was just an industrial city in its day, shipbuilding mainly, but and the two centuries that had these enormous sheds with shipbuilding that were becoming dilapidated once they lost that industry. And originally they were going to turn them into apartments or cafes or so on, but no, not ships, but these giant, you know, creatures. Even a minotaur has been built, which is at Toulouse now, a dragon, which is in Calais. And a dragon horse is actually called Long Ma, is in Hangzhou in China. So they're building these incredible things that can carry multiple passengers. They've even got a hulking mechanical spider with glowing red eyes. Can you imagine that? And a spiderish way of moving. So that gets a lot of visitors there now. So what a tourist attraction. I mean, as I said, I didn't know much about Nantes, but just so interesting. And they said it's got a lot more than just that as well. It's got lots of wonderful museums, etc., and galleries there for you to go to as well. But these machines, I just think, even just looking, every time I look at this, you know, picture of this incredibly huge elephant, I mean, just to build it must have been, you know, the work that must have gone into that and the detail, like, just quite incredible, isn't it?
I always thought when you go back to the starting point of that, I mean, somebody had the idea and they had to get that idea over.
Yeah.
Let's use all the bits and pieces and create a giant elephant.
Yeah, I know.
For people to jump on.
Giant creatures, even to be able to ride on it. Yeah, I mean, it is. But have a Google if you want to have a look at that, because it really is quite unbelievable. And as they say, it's a spiritual home now of creations that would make Jules Verne proud. So he sort of stimulated their interest in building these creatures, and it's now become quite a tourist attraction for Nantes, which is about 2.5 hours by fast train southwest of Paris, to give you an idea. And, yeah, not far from the ocean, from the seaboard, just a little bit inland from the seaboard. But it would be quite an interesting place. All of Brittany's actually quite interesting. I had some time there in Saint-Malo, which is a beautiful town right on the seaboard and very close to the Normandy D-Day beaches as well. So right. It's a part of France that is quite interesting, Brittany and Normandy.
Done France, Sally, and time to sort of check out some of those South Pacific cruises, some even a little close to home.
Exactly, Mark. So we're going to head to the beating heart of Fiji, where a new vessel has gone in there, taken over by Captain Cook Cruises. It actually used to cruise in Australia. It's called the Caledonian Sky. Now, it's only 90 metres long, which isn't that big for a ship, but it only takes 114 guests, which is great. So again, back to that small ship cruising. And it allows them to negotiate remote islands and reefs and shallow bays where obviously larger vessels are unable to go, which is really showcasing the real Fiji and gives passengers a really deep cultural experience. So what they've been able to do with this, they've even sought permission from different island chiefs so they can actually set foot on islands that don't have any commercial activity on them at all. So you have to actually seek permission, and so you're allowed to do that. So it's a really authentic, I guess, experience of Fiji. And you're doing the far-flung islands of the Asawa and the Mamanutha Islands, which you board about a 30-minute drive, Nandi, from the main airport up to Lautoka, and you board the ship there to do your cruising going north into those islands, which is just beautiful. And the water there is just so pristine, as you can imagine. And they have it on the ship itself, they have an onboard gym and a day spa. All meals are included in the fare, and of course, snorkeling equipment is supplied as well. Obviously, if you'd like taking your own mouthpiece, particularly, I know my husband likes to take his own. You're happy to use the other masks and the flippers, but yeah, but you know, take your own mouthpiece. And these cruises are just lovely because you really, an article I was reading just recently was it was such a broad spectrum of people on the ship, which was interesting. Like there was a young couple, there was a multi-generational family celebrating granddad's 79th birthday, you know, an older couple, even with some mobility issues, but everything was, that was no barrier on the cruise. All your shore excursion activities are all included. You have lovely balcony suites and luxury cabins that you can go to. Lovely meals on board. They even source, you know, local produce as they're travelling around these lovely areas. You've got stand-up paddleboarding available, kayaking, and of course swimming. And what would be nice at the end of the day than some canapes and cocktails on the deck, hey? Isn't that a lovely way to finish a day? And also what they do, they carry a lot of them donations of books, pens, pencil, games and soccer balls because they visit schools on some of these islands as well. So you're also helping out, which is a lovely thing to do as well. You're giving back to the community that's letting you visit their pristine and, you know, very, very special islands that not everyone can get to. So I think that would be a lovely thing to do. And getting closer to home, we've got a new one I think sounds interesting anyway, the Wild Islands of South Australia. And this is from Adelaide. It's a 10-night itinerary, and you're visiting some of South Australia's most historic lighthouses and learn all the stories that go with them. And it's a 10-night voyage with you doing all the secrets of that. Well, I think it's a rather secret area of that South Australia because just doing a small part of it last year around the Eyre Peninsula is just absolutely stunning. So you've got 5,000 kilometres of deserted shoreline and 300 islands.
Does that not boggle the mind that there's that much?
We don't think about that, do we?
No.
So, and there's a diversity of natural wilderness, including spectacular bays, remote islands, and of course the stunning sea cliffs, which are just amazing. And of course, a lot of these islands are important sanctuaries for birds, kangaroos, wallabies, seals, sea lions as well. And of course, Coffin Bay, I hope you are all oyster nuts out there. I know I am. Not everyone is, of course. But you can collect and shuck your own oysters fresh from the sea at Coffin Bay, which we didn't. Oh, my God. They were just to die for. And you go like around Kangaroo Island, Cape Jarvis, all sorts of, but Flinders Island. You do walks around lovely forest environs on some of the walking trails that you're allowed to do. Cape Willoughby, which is a famous lighthouse as well. Lots of guest lectures on board, which give you the fascinating exploration history of Matthew Flinders as well. So, yeah, isn't that, that's just nice, isn't it? We've got another part of Australia that normally you wouldn't get to unless you do it by vessel. So I think this is really, really fantastic that we're getting more of this small ship cruising that allows us to see these more remote and unspoiled areas.
5,000 k's worth of just uninhabited lighthouses galore. I wonder how many of those are haunted, Sally.
Ooh, I reckon a fair amount.
A few?
Yep, definitely. Definitely, especially if you believe in ghosts.
And, of course, the Fiji Cruises, which was the Captain Cook cruise mob that do short, small ship cruising.
Yes.
Do you know which other company, by the way, Sally, does a lot of small ship cruising?
A lot of companies do.
Come on, they who must be mentioned every week.
Oh, sorry. I'm not Coral Expeditions then, and not Northwest, no.
Hurtigruten.
Does it start with H?
Hurtigruten. They must be mentioned every
week.
They
must be mentioned, and they do a range of small ship cruises and larger ship cruises as well. But
even if there's no deal, even if there's no reason to mention them.
Just mention it.
They must be. It's like when they say, the Northern Territory, whatever, go and do it or see it. And a little bit more of talking travel with our travel guide, Sally Lucas, who has been scouring the world, and back again to find some hot deals for us. Sally, where are they this week?
Okay, well, we were talking about the Wild Islands of South Australia, so I thought a little bit, there's only limited sailings on that at the moment. I guess they could increase it, but this vessel does cruise lots of parts of Australia with Coral Expedition. So it's just October, November departures for this year at the moment as well. And they do have availability still on three of those dates if you're interested in doing that. I was reading something else the other day too, and I thought, how interesting when you think of some of the explorers, we think of Shackleton and Munson and all those and what happened to them and the vessels being frozen in ice, but him still trekking and, just...
Life never ends up good for an explorer, does it?
No, this was the Franklin Expedition, which they were trying to find a navigable route between the North Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean. And this was done back in 1845. And the ships were never to be seen again. Two ships went missing and they couldn't understand how they could lose two ships. They were eventually located. I can't remember how much later it was, but they became frozen in the ice, much the same as Shackleton. But now you don't have to worry about that. You can actually follow in the wake of those legendary explorers who didn't quite make it. But you can complete the voyage. In a lovely vessel. Because it's been built to withstand any sort of, it's an icebreaker type vessel, which is Aurora Expeditions. So, yes, that would be a really interesting itinerary to do because you're discovering all that Northwest Passage, which has become quite famous. And it's only a relatively new cruise. I know we've been talking a lot about cruises today, but I thought anything new is good to talk about. And these are going all the way across that top part of the Arctic, all the way across to Greenland and all those areas, which is just absolutely fascinating. So there are a few departures still with availability for that as well. Also, if you want to be part of a pathless travel, this is some more expedition voyages to Northern Europe and the British Isles. So this is something very different as well. So Silver Wind, which is part of the Silver Seas group, it's a smaller type vessel that will let it nudge into a bit bigger than we were talking about the other one with only 114 in it, but it still only takes 274 guests, whereas a lot of the cruise ships today, the large ones take thousands. So, I mean, this is still really good. And most of the cabins on this have a private veranda and suites. So you're getting lovely, lovely accommodation. And you're going to a lot of the Norway UNESCO listed fjords, Iceland's geothermal wonders, you do Ireland's Wild Atlantic Way, and a lot of Britain's remote, really windswept islands to the north of Scotland. So there's some interesting itineraries there. Within Australia, we've still got some lovely itineraries. People forget now that we've got a good rail journey along the east coast, either Adelaide to Brisbane or vice versa. So not just the GAN and not just the Indian Pacific, you've got that one as well. If you're looking for a shorter rail journey where you just, like to sit back, relax and not have to worry about driving. And they're giving you free return flights at the beginning and end of your journey for these for a limited time. So keep that in mind. It's just a little four-day journey from Brisbane to Coffs. They pop in, I think, to Newcastle on the Brisbane to Adelaide one. Slightly different itinerary in each direction, but that's just a nice little thing you can do as well. And also, we're still in Australia here now. APT have got some lovely new itineraries for 2025. Kimberley Coastal Expedition, 10 days from Broome to Darwin, which is on the vessel called the Seabourn, which, again, that coastline, as I've talked about many times, is just absolutely spectacular if you get a chance to do it, no matter what vessel it's on. The scenery will just astound you. They've also got a land journey which goes from Broome back to Broome return, taking in all that wonderful Kimberley area Cooktown and Cape York. There's another interesting itinerary doing that part of Australia. And there's a 15-day Darwin to Adelaide as well. Now, they've all got savings of up to $4,600 on the Kimberley Coastal and up to $1,600 on the Cooktown, Cape York and Central Australian Discovery and up to $2,200 on that Kimberley Complete itinerary. So there's lots of things out there at the moment, still with good discounts, good early bird savings. Earlier get in, the better. That's all I can say. Like any of those rail journeys, just book out so far ahead these days. They've become very popular. Just about everything books out so far ahead these days, to be quite honest. So early is better if you want to grab a bargain and make sure you secure your holiday at the right time of year that you want it.
And, of course, Sally, a lot of the folks that weren't able to do a lot of travelling for a couple of years are still, they're still catching up, so they're booking and booking and booking again.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people still catching up. It's so true. It's amazing. You know, you just can't think there's going to be any more people could possibly walk through the door, but, yes, they are.
All right, well, there's a whole lot of stuff for you to think about if travel is on your itinerary. As always, Sally, a pleasure. We'll see what you have for us next week.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.